Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who our delightful returning guest is.
Well, I think it's safe to say he's a returning champion. He's an actor, comedian, and co-host of the podcast Spanish Aquí Presents. It's Tony Rodriguez.
Hello.
Hello, Tony.
Very nice. Thank you. Welcome back, Tony.
Thank you for having me. I heard I was very controversial.
For a long time.
For a while you were, yes. Wow.
I don't know how many months that your movie, The Muppets Take Manhattan, was the titan, was the number one on this podcast.
For a very long
for
time.
For 4 or 5 months, maybe?
I mean, we had to redo the system.
We had to
Wow.
Some would say fix. Some would say change. Some would say skew. I say we updated.
Yeah, we just had to we learned stuff, and so we just made some stuff. Once we knew more, we did more. Wait, we knew better, we did better.
You know what?
You know
I
better,
support
you
that.
Do better.
I think the founding fathers, which in this case were you two, of this system, I think our American founding fathers intended for us to sort of revisit the system every now and then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like amendments.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm pro democracy. Even though I read,
this is
a first. Yeah, you're right. It's a new me. Pandemic me is pro democracy.
Have you been like what? How have you been? Because it's a lot's happened since we last saw you on the podcast, at least. How have you been using like movies in a way for to like escape? Or is it? Or you don't have the attention span for a movie? You know what I mean? I feel like people are one of two things.
Now, it comes and goes with me. I do use movies as an escape, especially on the weekends. I've been experimenting with, like, leaving my phone in another room even.
Tony!
Oh.
For, like, hours. It's delicious. My brain feels so good after that.
Yeah.
So don't try to reach me.
Do you find, does it take you, like, a while to get used to the fact that you're not looking for your phone? You know what I mean? Does it take you, like, 30 minutes of anxiety and then you forget it? You get through it?
It did at first, but now, like, I generally look forward to weekends because what could someone possibly want to reach out to me for? What is there to do? So I can just feel free and liberated and watch movies. I subscribe.
I've been doing like FaceTime with friends.
Okay.
Like, so, but and I'm FaceTiming through my phone, so it prevents me from being on my phone while we're watching the movie.
Okay.
Oh,
so that's been
I
working
see.
Very well.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
That's a good tip.
That is a good tip. Why
helpful
don't you
tip.
Use it on your laptop? Why don't you use FaceTime?
I don't know. It's just because I don't want to. I don't
Fair
know.
Enough.
It's easier.
Okay.
I just put my phone on my side table. It's done.
Okay.
There's no room for a laptop on my side table. Too cluttered.
I see.
Oh, well, that's maybe something you could look into.
No, I never will. I don't believe in introspection. Have you seen any? I've been watching these Netflix. Any? I feel like now there's a new phase of like any Netflix movie. Like, are we going to watch this? Like, I watched The Old Guard.
Yeah.
And what did you think?
Guest Jenny Pearson. And then we watched Fatal Affair.
What is that?
Which is very bad. It says Nia Long, Omar Epps, like, it's like Fatal Attraction, but with the production values of a Hallmark movie.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Just what it needed.
But it's also 88 minutes.
Perfect. That is a perfect leg. Right.
You love a lean film.
I love a lean film.
Not David Lean.
I hate David Lean.
Those are the worst. He's like 3 hours minimum.
I think Lawrence of Arabia is almost four.
Ugh.
I've seen it. It's good. I've seen it multiple times.
Have you seen it in a theater? I have not.
I have.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Was that the best way to see it?
Of course. I mean, it's CinemaScope, widescreen.
Of course.
They blow out a match, cut to the desert. I mean, you're not going to get that impact on a small screen TV.
Hey, I read why that shot works. If you're interested in cinematic theory. So when Laurence Olivier, who am I talking about? Peter O'Toole. Lawrence threw me off. When Florence of Arabia
and her machines
is holding that match, that lit match, and he's about to blow it, the way it's shot, you start looking at the match because he's looking at the match, and just as he blows it, that's where sort of like the beginning of the sun on the horizon line starts to glow, and that's why that shot works. I bought it. It makes sense to me, but now I don't know what I'm talking about.
It works. Well, your eye always goes to the brightest thing in the frame.
Oh, well, that's actually a better explanation. The fire. Your guy goes to the fire on the screen.
Well, as you know, Tony, we're doing Queen's Choice this month. This is the second week. This is my pick. So I chose today's movie. And that movie is Batman Forever.
Sure,
I couldn't
is.
Think of anyone better to discuss it. But you're wearing a Batman shirt. I don't know who else I would rather talk about Batman Forever with.
Aww.
John, what's the deal with Batman Forever?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Batman Forever. It came out in 1995. It was directed by Joel Schumacher, R.I.P. Produced by Tim Burton, based on the DC comic character Batman. It is a sequel to the 1992 Batman Returns, the third installment in Warner Brothers' Batman film series. Stars Val Kilmer, replaces Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne and Batman, along with Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey, Nicole Kidman, Chris O'Donnell, Michael Goh, is that his name, and Pat Hingle. The plot focuses on Batman trying to stop Two-Face and the Riddler in their villainous scheme to extract confidential information from all the minds in Gotham City and to use it to learn Batman's identity and bring the city under control. The film was released on June 16th. It grossed $336 million worldwide and became the sixth highest-grossing film of 1995. It received mixed reviews, with criticism directed towards CGI, Kilmer's performance, costume designs, and total departure from the previous films, but praised the visuals and performances of Jim Carrey and what's his name? Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, that's the one. So that is the deal with Batman Forever.
Now, normally I ask the guests why they picked this movie.
Yes, Mark, why did you pick this movie?
Thank you. You picked up that hint. I picked this movie because, well, I love a superhero film. I don't think we've ever really done a true superhero film here yet. And when Joel Schumacher passed like a month ago now, I believe it was, I rewatched Batman Forever. And I was like, I remember this. The line on Batman Forever was always like, oh, it's terrible. Like all the fanboys like hate it because it dared to make Batman campy. But I really came to appreciate, I think it's aged really well because there's something about the over-the-top production design. It's just like not trying to be serious. It's just fun. It's campy. It still holds up. It moves really fast. And I don't know, it's really gay, I think, in a lot of ways. And I just think it's like a hoot, a fun time at the movies. There's not a ton of like bad, cringy CG. It's like right before the real CGI took over everything. And it really, it's like the first Batman film to really lay into the homoerotic overtones of Batman and Robin, which I don't think we've ever really seen since. So I was curious to see how it would do in the scoring system.
Thank you, Mark. How about you, Tony? What is your history with Batman Forever?
My history with Batman Forever came after being a big Batman fan from the 89 movie. And I went through a whole Batman phase. I watched the 60s TV show. It would come on.
Loved it. Yeah.
Yes. It would. They would air it like 2 or 3 episodes late at night during the summers, and I would watch. I loved it so much. I guess in hindsight, mm-hmm. it was really gay and campy.
I think at the time they knew.
They knew, right?
I would hope so.
And I remember loving the Tim Burton Batman, and surprisingly, I did love the sequel, Batman Returns.
Returns?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
That one holds up, too.
It does hold up.
I that as well.
I remember being underwhelmed by Batman Forever. I must have seen it the opening weekend, and I had not visited it since. I do agree with you. It holds up very well. I was not bored. It's a terrible movie, but it's very entertaining.
What more do you want?
What do you want? Mm-hmm.
John, what's your background with Batman Forever?
Well, I, similar to Tony, and it seems like you like love the Batman TV show. I like the Tim Burton Batmans. I watched this one when it came out. I'm not sure that I've seen it since then. I unfortunately kind of disagree with it's holding up. I found it really sloggy, I have to say. Like, I thought it was like not as fun. It was just like dark and sort of really plotty, I thought, like just sort of in a way that it was not quite campy enough to be fun, nor was it sort of dark enough to be real. So I don't know.
What do you say? Are you saying PLODDY or?
Yes, like it was very plotting. Excuse
plotty.
Me. Not like,
oh, I heard plot plotty, twist. Which would also apply. Sorry. I think
it was like, who wrote this? Agatha Christie?
You couldn't figure it out.
I have to say, unfortunately, I'm not as crazy about this one as the other ones. It made me actually want to rewatch Batman and Robin to see if I liked that one better, because that's also Joel Schumacher,
yes.
correct?
To see, you're probably
like, comparing
piece,
that one to Batman Forever.
Say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's like a world where I think like the great thing about Batman is he's like endlessly, you could put him into, he can be campy. He can be dark and gritty. He can
sure.
be a literal cartoon. Like the character can, one version doesn't negate other versions.
I agree.
Mm.
So anyways, well, let's get into it, Tony.
Let's
as
get
you
into
do
it.
Know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge the movies, with a bunch of categories. And at some point, we're all going to add a category, and it could
become canon.
What do you mean could?
Well, because
we've
now you'll see.
Now.
We changed the
you'll
system.
See.
Oh.
You'll see. It all makes sense. So here's our current top 5. This is where their ranking is right now. So this is out of 100%. Number 5 with 76.52%. Funny Girl. Number 4 with 78.59%. Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born. Number 3 with 78.63%. Strictly Ballroom.
Oh.
Number 2 with 79.51%. Grease 2. And the reigning champ with a 94.83% Female Trouble.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I should point out your previous movie, The Muppets Take Manhattan, is now with 69.17%. 14. Top Gun
Number
is gayer, 14. But it's gayer than Cruising.
Okay. Muppets Take Manhattan is less gay than Top Gun, but more gay than Cruising?
Correct.
Correct.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes
Al Pacino straights it up real.
Yeah. So where do we think, I asked you where you thought Sergeant Pepper was going to land. So I will throw out where I think Batman Forever will
yes,
land.
Yes, where do you think this is going to land?
I think it's
going to
be like 17.
So you think it won't do better than Muppets Take Manhattan?
No. Well, maybe, fine. To keep things interesting, I'll say it'll beat... I don't think it's gayer than Muppets Take Manhattan, though. So I'll say it's 17. I'll say it's 17.
All right, cool.
All right, so let's get into it. The first category, Tony, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Batman Forever?
Well,
I mean, there's the nipples on the bat suit.
There's the butt shot.
Close up of his butt.
We'll visit. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will. you mean on here? Yes. scale of 1 to 100. I'm going to give it 67.
67. Based on what?
I'll have to follow it up. Based on color, based on the, you know, these shots that John just talked about, based on the camp factor. Nicole Kidman knows what movie she's in. She plays sort of camp. I'm not ranking it higher than 60 in the high like 80s because of Val Kilmer, who, although it is homoerotic to have this like these sexy buddies working together, I feel like Chris O'Donnell's like a little eager puppy in his what, late 20s, and
sure,
very late.
Val Kilmer doesn't respond to it as a. Like Adam West, I feel like was in on the joke of that in that world. That I would say is 98. On this scale, would be 98
for homoerotic.
Yes, for homoerotic. But I mean, okay, 100.
Adam West,
but
version?
Not that. That's not the version we're talking about.
No. I'm saying by comparison. So Val Kilmer is the Al Pacino in this movie that waters down the gay factor.
I see.
And now he straightens it up.
Fair enough. So 67?
Yes.
Very good. John?
I'm trying to think of like what is actually homoerotic in this movie. Again, I have like the nipples, some of the whole like, what is it, Robin's family, their little trapeze act that had some sort of...
The Flying Graysons?
Yeah, the Flying Graysons, even though they're family. I wouldn't say that's homoerotic, but there's something very like sexy about like the... objectification of them, but
there's also
nothing
like
about
Riddler and Two-Face are like kind of like hugging constantly, like towards the end, like the last 45 minutes they're like on each other like white on rice.
That's true, they are,
and like they're practically embracing the entire, and like Jim Carrey has his like knee up.
Jim Carrey, I have to say, like having watched Grinch for the first time recently for this podcast, I was like, oh, it's the same physicality that he does for Grease as he does for the Riddler.
Oh my God.
For the Grinch, not Grease.
That's what I meant, for the Grinch. His Grease is a totally different thing.
he does big. He's a big performer.
Yeah, but it felt like all of the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was 5 years earlier.
Well, then I want to go back and redo some of my scores on the Grinch.
I see.
Yeah, I don't think it's a very homoerotic. I'll give it a 40.
A 40.
I don't think it's that homoerotic.
I think it's pretty homoerotic, personally. I think you got Batman's butt, nipples on the batsuit, body piercings. Edward Nygma seems obsessed with Bruce. There's constant talk of black rubber. Dick's earring, hang out a lot of biker bars.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce, convincing, grooming Dick to stay by showing him your car collection. Dick literally goes cruising as Batman. Riddler, as I said, Two-Face get very touchy-feely. And in the director's commentary in the scene where they say not just a friend, a partner, Joel Schumacher says, just two guys in rubber hanging out in the cave. And I thought that was funny. Is it the most homoerotic movie I've ever seen? Absolutely not. But in terms of these days, in terms of superhero movies, oh, my God. This is Marvel would never do this.
No.
No. Actually, also,
they do have a lot of shirtless shots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And also Two-Face is like two halves. Two halves of two different people, and they're always kissing.
He's always kissing himself.
Yes.
He's kissing himself.
I realize I answered.
Nothing more homoerotic than narcissism.
Boyfriend twins.
Yes. I realize I answered the question as how gay is it and not how homoerotic, but
that's okay.
I already cast my vote.
You did. Fair enough. It's impossible for us to change it.
That's a democracy.
I'm gonna give it a 70. It's not the gayest thing I've ever seen, but it's pretty. I think it's a lot of homoeroticism there. All right, next category: actual gay characters. The only one maybe you could maybe make a case for, but that's not really explicit, is like Edward Nygma is obsessed with Bruce,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he has his picture up.
Yeah,
but I think that's real. There's not much.
No, Alfred. Maybe. We don't know,
maybe.
Right?
He might be. He's pretty dedicated.
He's very dedicated.
Very dedicated.
Very
to
devoted to Bruce Wayne.
I don't know.
Well, never
and
see
really
Alfred
takes a shine what's his name? To Robin, to Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, you can take the car.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
you
I brought you an extra
Batcave.
Change of clothes. Okay.
Yes. Is Jill Schumacher's camera work a gay character? Swooping and swerving and... Mm-hmm. Moving all about,
we'll
just twirling around.
But I don't think there are any actual gay characters in this.
There's certainly no one who self-identifies as gay
right.
to us, the audience.
Mm-hmm. But Gotham City does seem like a very gay city.
It had all those statues everywhere. So,
projected,
you know,
lighting all the time, yeah. Swirling mm-hmm. colored lights everywhere you look.
Yeah, you're constantly in a rave in this movie.
Constant rave.
Yeah, a colorful and phalluses everywhere.
Everywhere.
Every other scene is just a bunch of colorful phalluses.
Isn't that true of everywhere you go in the world, though, Tony? You just see phalluses.
Not everywhere. The beach.
Not the beach.
Not the beach.
Not even a pylon, a buoy,
a jetty.
Oh, what is a jetty?
That's like a bunch of rocks that stick out.
See, what did you hear, Mark Rennie?
I heard jetty and I didn't know what he meant.
And you were like, just moving on.
I'm just moving on. So, Tony, what are you going to give Batman Forever for actual gay characters?
12. Because I just realized 12. I don't want this to outrank Muppets Take Manhattan.
Fair enough.
This is a competition.
You were maybe the member. I think you were our first guest to actually play to win.
Yes. Yeah. And it made people mad.
Introducing felt as the category. Yeah.
Oh, I love right. Jeff Hiller's letter. I would like that. I would like a hard copy and I want it framed.
All right, we'll have it carved into wood, and then it'll be like a thing you can hang in your bathroom.
Okay,
once
do you
they
think
open theme parks again where you could get those done?
Yeah, it'll be written in bamboo ink
or an airbrush T-shirt.
Ooh,
oh, perfect. Oh, short shorts with Jeff Hiller's letter just on mm-hmm. your butt. Perfect.
I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and I heard a woman speak. Right? Is that where you went?
Yeah.
Oh no, the Museum of the Moving Image.
Thank you. That's Museum Erasure. John, what are you going to give Batman Forever actual gay characters?
I think Gotham City, so it's got to be at least 10% for that, and I'll give an extra 5 for Alfred, possibly Enigma guy. So 15.
15. Very democratic. I'm going to give it a 0. I have to stick to my guns.
Okay.
There are no actual gay people in this. All right, next category, camp factor. On a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Batman Forever?
There's a lot of camp going on in here. You got, again, nipples on the Batsuit. I think Two-Face as a villain is pretty campy. Like, that just the idea of that villain is campy.
I do think, I was going to say, sorry, this didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But I do think the Tommy Lee Jones Two-Face is like a better realization of Two-Face than the Aaron Eckhart in The Dark Knight. Because at least in this one, there's a very clear delineation between the two personalities. Like, one speaks like a monster and the other one speaks like really like sophisticated and high class. Whereas the Aaron Eckhart one just sounds like the same person the entire time. I'm just a fan of Two-Face is what I'm saying.
That's okay. I keep forgetting with this movie how much he's in it. Like, he really is the main villain in it. But when you think of Batman Forever, you think of Jim Carrey.
Ugh. Right. Yes.
And his character really doesn't come in.
Jim Carrey,
the Riddler doesn't show up until like more than halfway through the movie.
Well, that's an origin story for you.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He's inspired by Two-Face, right? At the circus scene? Is that what the plot?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? When did you watch it? We all have
just got back from us.
What?
Yeah. So how campy do you think Batman Forever is, Tony?
See my answer for homoeroticism, I think. How campy? I think 85, 89. Again, the camera work flounces and trounces everywhere. The aforementioned, you know, male body, black dark rubber stuff.
Black dark rubber.
Nicole Kidman's performance. Jim.
She knows what movie she's in.
Exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The colors. And the sass. There's a bunch of sass in this. Val Kilmer's sassy as Batman, and then it's doing like a walkthrough of the lines as Bruce Wayne. He's just doing like...
Yeah, he's not a good Bruce Wayne.
No, he's terrible.
I don't think. I'm surprised you guys are talking about how colorful it was. I thought it was so like dark and so
what
many like just
about?
Like...
It's like neon green the entire time.
I don't know. I found it so just like... Woo, so grim.
What did you
all
have?
Time, like in a not fun way.
On?
No.
Did you watch
it? I watched it clear.
Did you watch
eyes?
It on Crackle?
Yeah, there were commercials. Buffering. There were commercials every 3 minutes, but I didn't pay a cent for it.
Right in the middle of a scene.
Oh
too.
My god! Golly shit,
Tony. I need a number for Camp Factor.
Didn't I say I said 85?
You said 87, 89. You were of.
You want me to commit?
Yes.
87.
You took improv.
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace.
No one will ever yes and again.
No.
I mean, do we even need a class on improv? We all know how to do it now. You just yes and.
Sure,
it's fine.
You know how, so no one else, everyone else does
I mean, it's in the culture. Everyone knows the term yes and now. Yeah. I mean, what more? You got to pay $500?
Right, yeah, every guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race references it, right? You really exactly. yes and it in that challenge. And I applaud
really
you.
Like you did that.
It'll be some fashion designer.
I think Jim Carrey does a lot. I especially love his bedazzled suit later, but I know we're going to get to wardrobe in just a second. I'm going to give it a 75 for Camp Factor.
75.
Is Jim Carrey's right. performance camp or just like jerking off in a unitard?
Those, yes. They can overlap.
Yeah.
You
I don't
know
think
what?
They're mutually exclusive.
Thank you. I think you're right. You're right. I yield right. my time.
Here's a list of campy things I noticed in Batman Forever. The character Batman himself, henchman with body piercings. I would say Tommy Lee Jones matching Jim Carrey in over-the-top acting. Mm. The car theft mm-hmm. deterrent device, The Club. Gotham City having its own version of the Statue of Liberty. CGI cityscape, secret passages, nipples on the Batsuit, the Bat Signal, the magazine Ms. Gotham, which I would definitely subscribe to, speaking in tongues, anytime you can see an actor's teeth fillings, canted camera angles, a Malaysian Dream Warden doll, a family of gymnasts, falling in love with a superhero, microwave popcorn, a circus family in mourning, Dick Grayson being portrayed as total trade, everything Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar are doing, Two-Face really committing to an aesthetic down to his hideout, and is there a bigger metaphor for the closet than the Batcave itself? Any song by The Offspring, a gala, underwater fight scenes, Bruce and Dick admitting to being more than friends but partners, booby traps, Batman's boots with little rockets in them, and finally Two-Face's fruity obsession with coins.
Mm.
All right,
so I think it's pretty campy. Is the campiest thing I've ever seen? No, but it's pretty campy. I'm gonna give it a 89. The year right. Tim Burton's Batman came out.
Oh.
There you go.
I think.
All right.
It was
giving
very
an average of 83.67, oh, which is higher than Ginger Snaps.
What is that?
A Canadian a movie. Werewolf movie.
Well, is next it on the category. Criterion Collection? Because then I won't watch it.
It's not.
I won't.
You only watch Criterion Collection?
I went through
you
a phase.
Watch movies that aren't.
Oh. Yes. No, I went through a phase.
You said if it is, I won't watch it.
Yeah. So if it's on Shudder, you'll watch it.
Oh, yeah. Crackle, interrupt me. Yes, please.
Remind me it's a movie.
All right, Tony, our next category. Over-the-top wardrobe.
I mean.
Scale 0
I
to
mean,
100. How over-the-top all, is the wardrobe?
I mean, just Batman, Robin, Two-Face, the Riddler, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that they do give the villains like different looks, too. They don't have just one villain costume for the whole movie.
That's true.
Does, but they keep up changing them, updating them.
Does
like
Jim
Riddler
Carrey?
Has a smoking jacket that lights up.
Oh,
Jim Carrey's a lot
yes.
of looks.
Well, Joel Schumacher, right, was a costume designer, right? Before.
Yep. Yeah.
So you would hope. And he he followed through on that. Yeah. Yes. My answer is yes.
You take the boy out of the sewing room.
Yes.
You can't.
As you can't. See? Improv is dead.
Okay.
Exactly. No one
is dead. My answer is yes. That's my number.
Yes, so 0 to 100 translates to?
89. I just like that number. It's the 89. Year of the Batman game. Well, Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I mean, just for like the superhero costumes themselves, I'll give it an 89.
89. I think this is all pretty crazy and constant. I'm going to give it a 95.
Do you have a list, Elizabeth
this
Warren?
Movie came out.
What's that?
Do you have a list, Elizabeth Warren?
I do not have a list. Oh. I only do lists for Camp Frick. I mentioned, also Two-Face's ringleader outfit was pretty great.
That's pretty
okay.
great.
Okay, yeah.
But is it over the top for a circus? Isn't it right on the money for a circus?
No, a half, no. You come, John, you're being churlish.
Now it's literally under the big top, so it can't be over it.
That's true. Although Dick Logic. Grayson goes over the top when he gets rid of the bomb.
He sure does.
That's true.
Wow.
All right. Next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Batman Forever and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Like Dracula, maybe.
Yeah, I think Two-Face itself, like the idea of like two characters like in one look, I think it's very a drag queen could be like, "Ooh, I could do that."
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're doing a lip sync of a duet, and they could have half their face as one person, the other half as the other person.
Ooh, that's good.
You know, I think they could do a whole pleaser. Batman Forever night. Am I crazy? Like, I think you could get at least 12 distinct looks out of this movie.
Yeah, one of them could be a building.
Robin, Sugar and Spice.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
The many versions of Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The many versions of Two-Face. Chase Meridian.
Yes, Drew Barrymore.
You could do a take on Alfred.
Yes.
I think you could do a Batman night. I don't know if you could just do a Batman Forever night.
The Dayglow gang. The henchmen with the piercings.
The circus people.
Sure, but don't you, if you're there, don't you also want like a Poison Ivy and like a... Sure.
Well, you can't go to a theme night and say, "I wish there was something else." Like, it's a theme night, John.
Well, you can. That would be a poorly executed theme night.
I guess
if you did.
I don't feel that Batman Forever would be limiting.
Yeah, you could protest it, but
that's true.
I think someone's gonna insist that they're a Catwoman in all of this.
Oh, well, I just saw Batman. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't.
You know, some queens, some
I'm
young
Green
twinks
Goblin.
Are gonna argue who gets to be Batgirl. Yeah.
Right. Well, those people are fucking it all up. Tony, you're a drag queen, some would say.
Oh, <You've> some. <performed. laughs>
Some. Very controversial.
I think a true artist gets inspired. There's no limit to the inspiration that can...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
That kid in American Beauty got inspired by a plastic bag.
That's true. And then won an Oscar.
Does this movie make you want to put your heels back on and another wig and a dress?
You know it. Yes. Yes. Okay. And I want to wear purples and whatever, like greens.
Sure.
Just the ugliest colors.
Yes.
I wanted it to be a building, one of those phallic Gotham building with neons on me.
Oh, yeah.
Gotham City architecture?
architecture realness.
Batman Forever for drag queen inspiration.
I mean... It's either 0 or 100 because, as I said, it's in the artist, the inspiration. 100.
Okay.
100. 100. I said.
I'm gonna go. 80.
80.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Because there's more drag queen inspiration in Bring It On. You get more variety out of Bring It On than you can for Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I just feel like there's more specifically Batman Forever. Yeah, I think that's about right. I'm holding strong.
All right, I'm gonna give it another 95.
All righty.
Oh, the year this movie came out.
Is that? Are you mocking my thing just because I came up with a thing?
No, I'm. No.
It's fine. All right. Okay. Next category on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Do they have Criterion Channel already? What other what platforms do they have?
Do they have Mubi?
Yes. Do they have Fubo? Do they
Fandango, which is somehow you can rent a movie
Holy
from.
Shit.
Who's renting movies off YouTube? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like whatever's on your smart TV, right? Like, clicky click. I don't sure.
Well, we need a number. So how does Shore translate? Shore sounds like maybe the 40 to 60 range.
69,
you sicko.
What? That's the year of the first Batman movie based on the 60s TV series. I don't know that that's true.
I don't think that's
true-ish.
Yes.
Probably close to true.
I think so.
Of the Batmans is pretty low. I'm going to say 40.
40?
Wow, that's low.
This is much scarier than the first two, though, for Tim Burton ones, I would say.
Sure. I haven't rewatched them in a while.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Sorry. But, I don't know.
Well said. I'm going to give it.
God.
I'm going to. How likely are we going to give you? I'll give it 75. Give an average of 61.33. So far, we are more likely to recommend Batman Forever than Sgt. Pepper, which has a 41.67.
That's not...
So you rated Batman Forever higher than your own movie, John.
Yeah.
Is Sgt. Pepper a Beatles movie?
It's a Beatles movie. It's like a jukebox musical, but it stars the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton as the Beatles.
What?
Well, they're not the Beatles.
Wow.
Well, they're the Beatles.
But no, they're an Americans. They're like not playing the characters.
Yeah,
the
but
Beatles.
They're basically but they're basically being the Beatles. Wow. They're a band that sings only Beatles songs.
But they didn't start the Cavern Club in Liverpool. They never went to Germany. And
right, sure.
It's not the story of the Beatles.
You're right. They did not come from Heartland, USA with Mayor Mustard and whatever it was.
Mean Mr. Mustard.
Mean Mr. Mustard, excuse me.
John, yeah. You get your head in the game. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form in Batman Forever?
You know when you see a hot guy and you're like, oh my God, damn. And then he opens his mouth and you're like, ugh. So the male gaze, I mean, you know what? Val Kilmer's fucking hot, though. Gorgeous.
There are also those guys who are pretty naked who are just banging drums at that
one
time.
Oh, yeah, in the circus.
The circus.
That one time.
Under the big top.
Also, I think that scene, they shoot. There's that one slow motion shot of Dick, like, doing his gymnastics routine in midair, and he, like, spins in slow motion. And those costumes, nothing is left to the imagination.
No.
Like, the trapeze acts, everything is shot directly up. You see, like, they might as well be naked. Am I crazy?
No.
I don't think it's that much, but yeah.
It's pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the scene, they put Chris O'Donnell in a lot of sleeveless tees.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
With an earring. And the scene
I'm sure
where
it was in his contract.
I hope so. God bless. I was 20 when this came out, and this was the right movie for me at the time. There's that scene where Chris O'Donnell puts away the laundry with a lot of flair,
Kung
Fu laundry scene.
Oh, right.
I think he invented a gray sweatpant fetish in that movie. Well, I'm sure it existed before, but it's like a great example.
He
brought it to the mainstream, which we have to applaud Joel Schumacher.
Yes, we do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just the constant close-ups of male body parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, what are you going to give this?
89. I'm taking it down because of Jim Carrey. It feels like that unitard, it's almost it's unsexual.
I agree.
I mean, compared to like what Zack Snyder would have done, like he would have probably had like a machine gun or something.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Although Zack Snyder does like the most homoerotic and homophobic movies at the same time.
Must be John, fun to be his therapist.
Right.
For male gaze, I'll give it, I don't know, they're still in like those big bulky suits a lot of the time. I'll give it an 80.
80. I do think this is a good case, though, if you can tell this movie was directed by a gay man.
Yes.
Like, just from the movie, you could tell, like, oh, this director's gay. Like, just the aesthetic choice of the suits themselves. Like, it's just highlighting the male form. And more so than the women are even, like, ogled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it's not ogling men, it's the camera's literally twirling around.
Yeah. But then, like, there's a close. One of the very first shots of the movie is a giant close-up of Batman's butt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason. Just to be
literally
cheeky.
There's always a reason.
Oh, I like that. I like that one a lot. Cheeky.
I'm going to give this a 95.
Oh, wow. The year of movie game.
There you go. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
I mean, you got to give it to this movie on that one. I will say that. Like, everyone's always like...
Thank you, John.
First, like, a silhouette of the Batman. Also, the first time we see Val Kilmer as Batman, they had this very specific key light on just his lips.
Smart.
I thought that was a little pizzazzy. And, in fact, Nicole Kidman at one point says to Batman, the first time he answered, she goes, hot entrance.
Right. Then she looked at the camera,
and
right?
The Riddler comments.
And then she winked.
Mm-hmm. The Riddler also comments on Batman's entrance. Like, that entrance had drama compared to Two-Face's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think even the Batmobile itself has a very pizzazzy entrance, because every time we go to the cave, it like comes up on that rotating elevator thing, which is like, who built that and why?
Bruce did.
Who's
with
that
Alfred's
helping?
Help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes Lucius Fox helps in the comics.
Well,
who?
This is in the comics, Mark.
Morgan Freeman in the Christopher Nolan
first,
ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for translating that.
The first thing, a lot of Batman swooping in, Batman smashing through the ceiling, the circus itself, entering the Batcave from that tube thing.
Bruce Wayne breaking down the door to get to see Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
The Batplane flies through the green, like, logo on the cloud.
Yes.
Tony begrudgingly admits that these entrances have pizzazz.
I mean, those are entertaining. I felt like the entrances are entertaining. All of the action sequences were engaging. I was entertained.
So what are you going to give it? If you had to give it a number.
You guess.
89?
Yes! Oh my God! Did you guess?
John.
I will give it 95, just because I do think it's all about entrances in this movie.
It's all about entrances. Hmm. You thought all about my mother? How about all about entrances?
How about all about entrances?
I'm going to give it a... I accidentally typed 96, and I'll leave it at that. Give an average of 93.33.
There is a dearth of Almodovar movies on Criterion, by the way. There's maybe one. One!
All right.
Get That's on right. it! There's a fucking pandemic! Criterion!
He's shooting a movie with Tilda Swinton right now.
Right now?
Which is crazy.
What?
I know.
Yeah, we originally asked Tilda Swinton to do this podcast, but she's doing that movie. So we got you instead.
Oh, my God. If that were true, that would be... I mean, I could die after this. How would she... I don't even know how she speaks.
However she wants.
Yeah.
Okay, that's me.
That is you. You speak however you want. I can't put you in a cage.
Yeah, you could. At this point, I'll try anything.
You'll try anything once. Tony, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the dramatic lighting in Batman?
Are you
Forever?
Kidding me? 89. It's full of dramatic lighting. Everything's lit dramatically. It's lit like a cartoon.
Exactly. It looks like a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scenes like that don't need to be like over the in shot of like the bank vault, like they put red like neon through the ceiling, or like the city streets, there's just like neon everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like candy color this entire movie. John thought it looked brown for whatever reason.
What TV are you watching this?
Dark and conservative.
I don't know what movie you thought it was conservative.
No, I just thought it was just like dark and like hard to under. I felt like also like while watching the movie, especially the fight sequences, I didn't have any sense of like. The space, I, you know, it was just like, and now's a kick, and now's a punch.
Right.
And I felt the same thing about, like, Gotham itself. And, like, granted, it's not like I need to see a map of Gotham City, but I just, space, it just all felt like, it felt like a different movie. There's like, here's a whole bunch of footage, try to put something together. And that's what the movie feels like to me. It doesn't feel like a consistent, well thought out piece. It just feels like, here's a bunch of things thrown together.
You want, like, Game of Thrones. Laying out the land.
Yes. I want them like ABC standing stories. On top of a map of Gotham City.
This is where everything is. Want,
yes.
I want Commissioner Gordon having sex with his daughter, who will become Batman, because I need the incest to keep interested.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think the oversized battleship thing gave you a good sense of space?
See? B-12. The
oversized battleship
B-12.
Thing?
B-12. Yeah, when Two-Face and the Riddler are like
that's right,
missiles.
That's right, yeah. No, I'm still confused.
So how would you score the dramatic lighting, John?
But I do think it's like you've got, it was very like well, like very like overlit at times, but like Wayne Manor was very like, the dramatic lighting just seemed for its own sake, which to me just sort of felt sort of boring, but there's a lot of it. I'll give it an 88.
88.
Okay.
I think it's pretty, it is all kind of like of a thing. I don't know if it's like the most dramatic. It is like, more for a style than actual drama or character, so I'm going to give it a 90. But I think it's got a lot of style.
Wow.
I think it's a fun time at the movies.
Has that ever
it's
happened?
Like, this is what I want out of a summer movie in a lot of ways. Just like, just forget your troubles. It's nothing really matters. You can leave the movie for 5 minutes at a time, come back.
I love those.
You're having a good time.
Movies.
They know exactly the movie they're making, I feel like.
If you leave the room 5 minutes into a Criterion Channel movie, forget it.
Lost.
It's like someone...
And you can't even be on your phone. It's all subtitles.
They'll change languages.
It'll change, exactly. And it'll refuse to let you go back to one you speak.
Yeah. you know what Criterion's got a lot of? Strident women. How would you rate the strident women in Batman Forever?
What is strident? Is that like...
There's not a lot of women in Batman Forever. There's got Nicole Kidman and then Debbie Mazar and Drew Barrymore. Kind of it.
That is kind that of is it. Well, there is the gossip columnist...
Oh, sure. There's her as well, yes.
Who?
Whose name is literally Gossip Gertie. Gotham's top gossip reporter.
What scene is that?
She's at the circus. She's like the lady with those glasses, those white glasses.
Oh, the Iris Eiffel character? Eiffel?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But beyond that, there's just Chase Birdie who is not, she's very forthright in telling Batman she's attracted to him.
Yeah.
She's not subtle. She's going for exactly what she wants. Yes.
Yeah.
That's like her first real, I mean, that's her first time she speaks, really. It's like a monologue about how hot she thinks he is, right?
Right. She co-opts the bat signal just to get a date with him.
A very poorly thought out.
Or strident, some would say.
Some would say.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
Why is that poorly thought out? It worked. It got her a one-on-one meeting with Batman.
It was unsafe.
But that's like calling 911 to ask someone for a date.
She wants a date. It is an emergency.
I don't think so. I don't think the bat signal was meant as a swipe left or swipe right.
So you're
for
saying
Batman.
A fun use of the Batmobile is inappropriate in a movie.
Yeah, inappropriate in a movie. You're correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't care for this.
That's not how the bat signal is meant to be used.
No, that's not why it was designed. Do it the right way.
What is?
You know, in The Dark Knight, they smash it with the axe. That you must have hated that.
All the taxpayer money was wasted on that. It's furious.
Tony, what are you going to give Batman Forever for strident women?
Before I tell you, what does strident mean?
Strident like a woman means who's
like, go for it.
Usually means like someone who's like a little annoying or a little like pushy, which is like.
Mm-hmm. But also, we
tend to think
saying,
of it more as like a more forthright sort of like woman who stands up for herself, who's not going to take any nonsense. But strident itself literally tends to have a sort of negative connotation, which we don't always use ascribe when we do when we do make our scores.
Who added this category?
Who did add this category?
It was from Sleepaway Camp, so it was
Eva Anderson.
Eva Anderson.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to say
that movie has strident women.
Okay. I'm going to give this a 5 for the Nicole Kidman bat signal.
A 5.
She's on the poster of the movie.
For the one scene where she uses the bat signal to get.
That's the only time she's trying in this movie?
Yeah.
I also would say, Tony, not that I want to bully anyone into a different score.
He
would
never
do that. But there are the two. Again, I do think that the Gossip Columnist is kind of strident. I think the two sidekicks are pretty strident.
Sugar and Spice.
So I think it's not just one. It's not like, oh, strident woman moment. It's just like, how are the women overall? If you still want to go with 5, I totally support
this
you.
This is a new word for me, so I'm like feeling it out.
I understand.
Sure.
It sounds like a gum, like a sugar-free gum to me.
Trident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fine, you bullied me into a 20. A 20!
20.
Yes, 20. For each of those descriptions, get 5
I think because all of the women we deal with are strident in some way or another, I'm going to go 66.
66!
Oh, wow.
Which is the year that the first Batman the movie starring Adam West came out.
Yes.
That's right.
That's true. That is true.
So you weren't far off when you guessed 69, Tony.
No, I know.
I'm going to give it a 50 for strident women. I do think Batman and Robin would score higher for Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy.
Oh, certainly.
Certainly. All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how macabre is Batman Forever?
Huh. Well, who are you asking?
You, Tony. We always start with you.
Not always.
I can go first if you'd like.
I have an answer. I'm going to say.
Let's hear it.
What's the inverse of 89? It would be 21?
98?
21?
11.
20, 11?
Oh, you're right. 11. That's math. 11. Because of the camp factor and all the colors and that flouncy camera, any macabre element is like.
Offset.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's my argument.
All right, giving it 11.
I think it's a little more. I think like even just like the creepiness of it, like the weird design of it, and like those
the garish
Diglo people. But it never felt like scary to me.
No.
So I'm gonna give it. I'll give it a 34.
34. You gave Sergeant Pepper a 70.
Yep.
So this is half. That's much more macabre than Batman, which has actual people dying.
Yes,
that
people die in Sergeant Pepper's. People come back to life in Sergeant Pepper's.
How does she die again? She falls off a thing. One person dies. This has manipulating brainwaves, suicide notes, shattered psyches, doing gymnastics without a.
That's just my opinion, Mark. It's just my opinion.
Death of the Graysons, mind probes, a Halloween exists, jack-o'-lanterns, young Bruce in the Batcave, that creepy bat flying towards him. And then Riddler getting too much brainwaves and turning into a deformed freak. And then Arkham Asylum at the very end.
And also Tommy Lee Jones falling onto the rocks by the ocean. I'll give it a 55. Right. Elizabeth Warren bullied me into a higher ranking.
I'm just simply listing the facts. If that convinces you otherwise, blame the facts, not me.
I do. I usually do.
I'm going to give it a 60.
Oh.
It's not the most macabre movie I've ever seen. But
of course not.
I think Batman is kind of inherently macabre. I mean, he's a Batman.
Sure.
He's
a Batman.
How many times did they
it's
have...
It's got to be macabre.
Right?
How many times did they have that the origin fucking story? I felt like it was at least
the
death
twice. Of the Wayans.
You don't need it.
It was at least
well,
twice.
Well, this was on the earlier side of it when it wasn't so overdone yet at that point. Because I don't think it happens in Batman Returns.
Well,
but the whole thing in Batman Forever, like they cut out a scene where the whole B story of Bruce Wayne is like he feels responsible for his parents' death because he believed that he convinced them to go see Zorro. So he thought he pestered his parents into go seeing the movie. Mm-hmm. So he blames himself. But that red book he realizes, which he finds in the cave, is that his parents' choice to see the movie. Bruce didn't want to, so his guilt is absolved. Mm-hmm. So that scene is deleted, and so essentially Bruce Wayne has no arc in this movie. Mm-hmm. But it's on the cutting room floor. Speaking of cutting room floor, how would you rate on a scale of 0 to 100? The wigs of Batman Forever.
How is that a segue? Oh, cutting room. Hair.
Hair.
You got it.
I got it.
Hair salons are often called the cutting room, and just not just because of the comments.
Oh, that was good. 11.
11.
Out of 100? There's
of
a 100? Lot of wigs.
Wigs.
Come on, the Riddler has multiple looks.
That's not
Jim
a wig.
Carrey, especially before he becomes the Riddler, and then when he becomes the Riddler. Two-Face has got a weird half and half wig.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar
Debbie
and Mazar and Drew Barrymore have. And also, at the very end, the scientist who comes in to check in on Arkham Asylum, his name is Rene Aubergenois. He has a very notable wig on in that little scene that he's got.
Do you
right
know
there.
What his character name is, John? It's the clue of what he is modeled after. He's Dr. Burton. So I think he's meant to look like Tim Burton.
He's a Tim Burton, I guess. Okay, sure.
Unshampooed, greasy, always thinking about curlicue tree branches. Mm. That's Tim Burton.
That's Tim Burton for you.
I think there's tons of wigs in this.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty wiggy movie.
I mean,
at one point,
sure.
The Riddler looks very Annie Lennox.
Yeah.
He's very like, there's an androgynous element to the Riddler.
Sure, if you spell wig, W-I-G, yes. If you spell a W-H-I-G...
Oh,
there's
I
much
see.
Less.
You were thinking there's, the political
you're thinking the
party.
Political party. Yeah,
the
yeah.
defunct political party. I see where you're
confusion came. They do have a strong... They're still alive and well in the city of Gotham.
That's why you gave it an 11?
And you do not want to go into their cutting room. No.
No.
Sir.
It's all politics.
No, honey.
So what are you going to give this for wigs? The one that go on your head?
For the political party, 11, as I said.
Yes. But...
The year that they... what's it called? Fell apart. For WIG, 66.
I'm gonna give this an 86.
86.
Why? That is that the year Beetlejuice came out?
Is it?
No, I don't think so.
Because I think with the exception of Batman and Robin, pretty much all of the main characters have a significant wig.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so and it's also like very clearly a wig.
Alfred's hair looks real.
I think it is.
That's true.
Nicole Kidman.
I too am going to give it an 86, gain an average of
79.33. Okay.
All right, next category. Quips. How quippy is Batman Forever?
It's full of quips. Doesn't mean that the actors deliver them well, but.
Sure.
I mean, Batman's a bitch.
Me out. Oh, Catwoman is in the house.
I'm sorry. I only read Batman and I wanted to commit to this. I've never seen Batman Forever. I can't commit to it. But Catwoman's hot. Oh my God, is that the bar? I miss parties. 89. Well, wait, no. If we're comparing it to, like, the women. Then
it's not all about it.
Always we're comparing it to the women.
But of the Batman movies, this might be the most closest to All About Eve. Of every Batman movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Batman Returns is more closer to All About Eve. Has a stronger female presence.
Is Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. Betty Davis? Eve Ensler is Robin.
Betty Davis. There's your drag queen.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Quarantine brain. It's a little slower than usual.
John, how would you rate those quips and bam? You
were
just
feel like
chuckling the entire time, having a delightful moment.
On your Crackle TV.
Could you give me some of your like specific quips that you're thinking of that you were like, oh, this is an iconic quip?
Look, I'm not
movie.
Saying they're like hilarious. I'm just saying this screenplay is written like insert quip here every other line. I'm not saying it's like a good, these are the funniest jokes, but there are a lot of quips. The screenplay is mostly quips.
I guess
and not everything the Riddler and Two-Face say is essentially a quip.
Yeah, I guess
riddle
so.
Me this. That's a quip, right?
Yeah. Caffeine will kill ya. Serves up big kahuna.
Blech.
I'm not giving
I'm not
them
saying these are
that.
Hilarious, but
I'm
there
not,
are.
Not
anyone
I'm going to give it.
They
I
do exist.
Sure, sure. But they're not good.
Sure. I never said
I'm
they
gonna
were good.
I'm going to give it a 40. I don't know. There's just this movie just didn't grab me.
Mm-hmm.
40. I'm going to give it a, it's pretty, when I think of the screenplay, I think of like, oh, there's, I'm never going to think of the great monologues of Batman Forever. I'll give it a 60 because it is
60.
Mostly
okay.
Quips. All right. Next category, vibrato.
So for this, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean like anything more like on a moment, like that sort of is zhuzhed or anything extra they give you. So like
I see.
They give it to you a little bit more, but you like it.
I see.
Is there anything extra about Batman Forever?
I can't think of anything. I watched it on Crackle TV, so it was very plain.
And add 2 seconds into it.
I don't know why that's funny to me. It's so annoying. It's annoying to watch anything on there. It truly is.
I don't know
so many
what they are thinking. They clearly don't spend the time to actually place the commercials.
They really, yeah.
No, it's just an algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It's awful.
89.
89. You know, Tony, you're consistent. Look at
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty extra. I think, to me, the vibrato kind of is all Jim Carrey. Like, I feel like his performance more than
you
anyone
else. You think Tommy
is, like,
Lee Jones is pretty understated in this?
No, I don't think that so much. I think it's
you think
the
production
them.
Design is understated in this? You think the costume design
I think
is
it's
understated?
Pretty, I don't think it's understated. I just think it's off. I'll give it a 82.
82.
What did I say? 89, right?
You said 89.
Well, also, I'm going to say Jim Carrey's performance is literal vibrato, right? Doesn't he go like...
I would say so.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is like an amazing, though, like physical... Like the things, like the poses, he is like a literal cartoon character of like just hitting these poses with his body. Like in you know...
These
he
weird
becomes,
hieroglyphics he
it's so crazy.
Contorts himself into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 90. It's pretty vibrato. Mm-hmm. All right. Last category in the canon categories, footwork. How would you rate the footwork of Batman Forever?
A lot of running.
Well, again, there's Jim Carrey's little Grinch walk that he does. And
he does a lot
dance
of cane
with Nicole
work.
Kidman. A lot of cane
and the
work.
The cane work.
Well, the
cane
acrobat.
Feet, Mark.
The acrobat. What'd you say?
I said canes aren't feet, Mark.
But he's kicking it with his foot a lot to like okay, flip it right. up and spin it.
Canes are not feet, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Dancing at Nygma's gala.
Mm-hmm. The fight. Also, there's, the fight sequences are footwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that one fun one when Bruce slides across like the table in Wayne Manor and then it like flips mm-hmm. up.
Kicking down the door.
He has literal jets come out of his feet at one point.
Oh, how trash. Fun is that? Come on.
I think that's fun.
Driving up a wall of a building, that's fun.
We don't need to see how he gets out
I
of
don't
it
care.
Or what happens next. It doesn't
crash
matter.
Crash a helicopter
in
the Statue of Liberty, that's mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah. There's a purple thing, the next shot. You don't care about it. There's a gothic statue lit from below with a bright spinning light. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to give this for footwork, Tony?
I mean, it's not footloose footwork, but I'm going to give it a 66.
Fair. That's fair.
I'm going to give 66. It a 66. There's footwork in it. I would probably give it a 50, except the last shot is literally them running to the camera, right? Like, okay, I'll
that's
give you
true.
Some.
That's true.
That's true.
I will give it a 72 for footwork.
72. I'll give it 73. Why not? Sure.
72 is the year they shoot horses, don't they?
That movie has footwork.
I think that's 27. 72 is Cabaret and The Godfather.
Oh, that's right. You're right, actually. You're right. You know you're right.
All right. Tony, this takes us to the wheel categories. Any category that is neither canon, which we just got through, or bonus is consigned to the wheel.
Yeah, so these are other categories that guests have brought in that haven't just quite made it to canon. Are you ready?
Go for
it. All this little wheel.
Okay. Excuse me.
Those things are very high tech.
Real bodies.
Real bodies. Well, this is not a movie.
Wow.
I guess Tommy Lee Jones and Commissioner Gordon.
Val Kilmer goes rock star shirtless.
But he's got, I mean, real bodies are ones like
for
people that don't
like,
look.
Not just Hollywood people. Like, do you allow like, actual humans?
I
to
see
in
what
movie?
You're saying.
Alfred?
What year did the women come out? 39?
39. Even the dog's a woman.
39.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 20. I feel like it's all just like gorgeous people.
Ugh.
All those acrobats. Come on. Give me an acrobat who's like with a dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
I hate how people are saying like Zac Efron now has a dad bod. Like, no, he
that
doesn't. He's still massive.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It gives people like me who actually have a dad bod insecurity. But I don't. I don't care what I look like. I'm going to give it 23. Give an average of 27.33. I think the first time we've actually done that category.
Let's all say it. That's like a 40s ticker taper news thing, right?
Yeah. Legendary billboard.
Okay. They're going to make up some points here, I think.
Okay, what do you have for that?
Well, you didn't see anything, John?
I saw a billboard for like a, it looked sort of like a crossword puzzle, but it wasn't for anything.
What about
it wasn't like Coke or anything.
What about when they literally fly a helicopter through the advertisement for the eye doctor thing? The tired eyes? They literally fly through it and it explodes.
Oh, okay.
Are you not entertained?
I sort of remember that. Yeah, yeah.
You sort of remember.
I do remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
It happened in the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess to me that wasn't legendary. It wasn't like Dr. Zizmore or anything like that. You know, it was like a, it was a billboard, but it didn't feel legendary. It didn't feel like iconic.
I mean, it's the shape of an eye and it's made out of glass and it explodes.
Right. That doesn't seem like a billboard to me.
But it's a Gotham City billboard. It's bigger than life.
Sure, of course, yeah. I mean, you could drive up the side of a building.
What is it if it's not a billboard? It's an advertisement.
It is a billboard. I'm just
outside,
saying it wasn't a legendary billboard. It wasn't just like a sign on the street. It wasn't like, to me, it wasn't like, oh, like when you see.
So if it was lesser, it
like,
would be
Coke,
more legendary. If it was
no,
lesser,
if it was,
like a more billboard
it was
in
for
our
a
world.
Thing that I wanted it, it rather than this sort of made-up eye doctor.
So if it was a real advertisement, you would have thought that was more legendary.
I bet it would have seemed more legendary to me. Like
but
if it
the,
was like
this came
Oprah
from the
doing a Revlon,
which was Allie,
from,
which is not real either,
right? But it was like, but it was an actual billboard on Sunset Boulevard. You know what I mean? Like, and she was.
This
a
is
legend.
An actual billboard in Gotham City.
Yeah, okay, sure. Legendary billboard.
You're standing on San John,
which is
I think
like
you're just
the
repeating
beach.
The same argument. So go ahead.
Okay. Wow.
Tony, what are you going to give this for legendary billboard?
I'll take this question. So I believe that a 100 in this
category.
Whoa. No. Let me finish my sentence. A 100 in this category would be like Blade Runner, right? Would you? That's the high. That,
sure.
I can't
Do you have a specific?
Short of like a feature-length commercial that had billboards in it. That's, I don't think, a higher achievement in this category. As we have yet to see, then Blake.
Yeah, it's yet to be brought in.
So the year of the women, 39 for this one, just for that that one billboard that gets crashed into.
I think I'll give it a 50.
50.
Why higher than my me?
Just because a 50 is sort of like an even, and so then he can't complain.
Oh, we'll find a reason. Make the wife happy. I get it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. For billboards, I'm going to give it a 60.
Okay.
Not too crazy.
No.
All right. Spin that wheel. As we said, legendary billboards brought to us by Kate Raft and Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born.
No, this one's good. Teamwork.
Teamwork. Oh, I remember this one. Work.
Mm-hmm. I remember this one.
I mean, this is literally the forming of a team. You got Bruce and Alfred.
Late.
Well, they're already there. You could say that, like, the whole Batman Robin thing, because they're fighting a lot.
Doesn't count. Sort of like,
well, I'm just saying that, like, they're not working together for a while at first.
Sure. Riddler and Two-Face. I mean, you got all these gangs that are very coordinate their mm-hmm. looks, that Dayglow gang.
The Acrobats are a team. Sure.
The Acrobats, the Flying Graysons. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to say for teamwork?
39. The principal teamwork on display comes into, like, late into the third act. Hey, buddy, you want to be partners? Okay.
Wow, you really captured it.
I know.
You should do the audiobook for this movie.
Okay, I need a job.
He booked it.
I'll give it an 80.
80.
It's because is that because it's a theme? It's a moral of the fucking movie?
Well, yeah, teamwork makes sense. Teamwork is like a thing, yeah. I think because teamwork is something that they talk about, like even if it does take them to the end of the movie to achieve the ultimate version of teamwork that they're headed towards.
But that's how they win.
It is part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the year Lawrence of Arabia came out, 62.
62.
Okay.
I'm also going to give it an 80. That sounds right to me. All right. Last wheel category.
This just in. Allied forces.
All right. Mannequins.
Mannequins.
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate the
there was the Ask Zoltar machine for the Riddler. That's kind of mannequin.
Yes.
Kind of plays a part. It somehow comes alive for no reason.
When they go to the courthouse, there are a lot of statues of people, like the justice statues. Those are kind of mannequin-y.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Val Kilmer's performance is a little stiff.
That's very mannequin-y. But I also think, like, there were times in the Batcave where you see, like, different things of, like, bat costumes, like, on
sure.
things. That's a little mannequin-y as well. So there's definitely Absolutely. Some mannequins going on in here.
There's some there's no dearth of mannequins, we would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a mannequin gets multiple close-ups in this movie.
Which one?
The Riddler one.
Oh, the Zoltar.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true. Hey. Back to the homoerotic category. Just
really please.
Because I just thought of this.
It was an hour ago, yeah. Sure.
Sure.
Well, what else are you doing? It's the pandemic outside.
Nothing.
See, Val Kilmer's stiff performance as Bruce Wayne. He's literally walking around. He's just a dick. Do you think that is awesome? No.
You think that's a metaphor?
Yes. For penis. Homoeroticism.
Do you want to update your score to reflect
this? I don't remember what I said. 89, did I say? No, I don't need to update my score.
Okay, fair enough. But what about for our mannequins?
The year of wings, 27.
27.
Was it 27 or 29?
Wow, 29. That was the first Oscar, right?
I don't know.
Academy Award, excuse me, who had not yet been christened the Oscar.
They haven't called Oscar yet.
That was Batty Davis that named that.
That's exactly right. John, what are you going to give this for mannequins, your favorite category?
First of all, you're correct. Wings was 1927. I apologize.
Do you want to update your score?
I will give it that had nothing to do with this. I will give it a 50 for mannequins.
50.
Holy shit. I was right.
You were correct. I'm happy to admit it.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it a 45 for mannequins.
Okay.
All right, now we are to the guest category. And now let's just kind of like maybe workshop something. Did you have a pitch maybe, Tony? Do you have something?
No.
Oh, okay.
So what were you thinking, Mark?
I was thinking we've done like over-the-top award, but we've never done like over-the-top like production design.
Ooh.
Or set design.
Ooh.
We've never really touched that.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you want it to over-the-top set design?
Yeah, or over-the-top production design. Same thing, right? Over-the-top sets. Does that make it easier?
So what would be like 100, do you think, in this category? Like, if this is the category, what is like 100?
I mean, like, The Grinch would be crazy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
Blade Runner.
Marriage Story would be like, a zero.
Where you're like, are creating a world that is not the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just over the top set. You know, I think Female mm-hmm. Trouble would also do really great here. Mm-hmm. Because they have, like, the walls are wrapping paper for a lot of the scenes.
Okay. Is that over the top, or is that just doing that's what you can to
when
make
it looks, when you make your house look like a guerrilla filmmaking? Present?
Sure, sure. That to me seems... Top. Sure. Fair, fair.
It was a heightened apartment.
Over the top production values. Yeah.
Production design.
Design. Sounds good to me. What do you think, Tony?
I agree.
Over the top okay. production design.
Three wigs have it.
Okay. So, Tony, what would you give Batman Forever for over the top production design?
I mean, high 90s. 95. I mean, it's all, that's the movie.
That is the movie. Right? Because I think especially compared to like, if you like, I love the Marvel movies, but they all look pretty anonymous for the most part, you know, except for some of like, even like Wakanda kind of, you know, yes, there's influences there, but like it's not, they're not taking big crazy chances there. You know, right. There's very much a house style. And this mm-hmm. looks crazy, which is like fun, I think. Yeah.
The most normal scene is the one where Batman or Bruce Wayne knocks down, what's her face's door? Nicole Kidman.
Chase Meridian. But even she has like these crazy murals.
Right. But that's like the most.
Yeah. That's the understatement.
Yes. English.
John, what are you going to give this for over the top production design?
I got to say, I know we've said this before. I found this movie to be so drab and so just like dark in such a boring way.
Open your eyes, hunty.
Hunty, they were open.
Get off of Crackle, hunty.
Yeah.
I watched this movie with three other people, and none of them made it halfway through the movie.
My roommate refused to watch it with me. He refused. Yeah. He turned his back to the television, and I maybe watched Real Housewives.
Yeah.
You can watch both.
Of Potomac.
Now, those are the real villains.
Yes. Right? Talk about camp.
Let's talk about a strident woman.
Oh, I understand the word now.
That would be, now you get it.
Now you get it.
I'm going to give this for 70.
70.
Okay.
Just so I don't bite your head off, I feel is like what that is.
Keep the wife happy.
Just you don't, yeah. Hey, your fist doesn't come through my computer screen and punch me.
I mean, I think this is almost consistently wall to wall over the top. Like to me, this is what I think about when I think of over the top. So I'm gonna do 100.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Wow.
All right. Now we're into the bonus round, Tony.
Okay.
So that now, now instead of 0 to 100 points, we're gonna score 0 to 5% each.
Okay.
So the movie won't be penalized for not scoring well. This will only be added to the score.
Can I add a category?
This is the change we made.
Are we over time?
No, you had your chance.
You already did that. You might have a category in here already.
Yeah, you never know. Let's find out. We'll see. Maybe. Felt. I don't know. Our first one, makeover montage. Well, there's the literal opening of the movie is like Batman's. There's two Batman suiting up.
That's not a makeover. That's routine montage, I would say. Right? This is my day.
I do think like there is something makeover-y too, like adding like your arsenal, yeah. You know, suiting
he's
up.
He's also becoming a different identity, I think, in those moments.
And then there's also the montage where the Nigma tech box is like becoming a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a montage and people are becoming... dumb for lack of a better
word. Sure
You don't ever really see like it never seems like Riddler or Two-Face are getting any smarter for all the talk of like we're stealing people's brain power like people don't there also does you never see also anyone getting like dumber you know what I mean for all the talk of what this thing is doing
right
we're just kind of told and then it moves. I guess you know that's an extra 30 minutes. John's yawning. All right, what do you want to give this for a makeover montage?
0 to 5. 0 to 5. Oh, I see.
And then we take the average of each.
I see.
Of us.
3.
I'll give it a 2.
2. I'll give it 2.5. Giving it a 2.5.
2.5.
All right. Next one. Angry phone hangups.
Ooh.
Are there any angry phone hangups? There's not a lot
of phone
calls.
I didn't catch any. No. There's some bad signals.
there's some bad signals. That's
and he's mad when he finds out Nicole Kidman just used it to call him.
That's true. I don't think so.
I don't think there are. Any dramatic, you like to say often angry phone hangups are a dramatic exit, John.
Somehow, yeah. If it sort of
noticeably silent when it comes to this movie, though.
Well, I'm trying to think of like what is like a dramatic, like a. Do any of the villains have one when they're like leaving a fight or something?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Zero.
Zero.
I'm going to give it a 0.5 because I bet there's something that's like an angry phone hangup in there somewhere.
You. Just to be sure, you're not. You don't remember. Just to be sure.
I do that okay.
For one, one more audited later on.
Oh, okay.
Just in case, I don't want anyone coming at me with receipts. You know.
Oh right.
No.
Like Jeff Hiller telling me what felt is, which I didn't know. He schooled me.
We don't want to get an email from Debbie Mazar screaming at us.
Please get an email from Debbie Mazar.
I would love
getting the ratings. Madonna.
When I was friends with Madonna.
All right, next
angry phone calls
category.
There. I'm sure. Hang on.
I'm sure. Titular theme song.
Ooh.
Well, there's no song that says Batman Forever, but there are at least
there,
two songs
very
that we
good
associate
soundtrack.
With the movie.
Yes,
I think this is like the only good U2 song. I think this is their best song. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. I think that's their best song.
That sounds like it sounds
and
like a rejected James Bond movie. Oh right. Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, so we got those two. So it was a pretty strong. But although, like, watching it again, I was like, oh, Kiss from a Rose is not even, like, the first song when they do the credits.
It's like the end credit. Yeah, it's after that.
But it's like they do another song and then they do Kiss from a Rose. But right. I feel like that song makes me think of this movie immediately.
Right.
3.5.
No one ever actually does take a kiss from a rose.
No.
No.
Tony, what are you going to give this particular theme song? There's no song that says, and that was Batman Forever.
Oh, well.
He thinks he's so clever.
Well, by those standards, zero.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
I will give it a 2.5 because I feel like those songs both sort of evoke the movie in a very specific way.
Yes. I will also give it a 2.5 for that.
Okay. Poetic license with interpreting the categories.
Yes,
I see.
Absolutely. We're allowed to.
Okay.
All right, I think we're going to make up some points here. Fun fonts.
Oh.
I mean, we got the Warner's logo morphing into the bat symbol, which is a font
that's
of a
fun.
Sort. Mm-hmm. Letters flying at the screen. I do think the Riddler's question mark has a great look, like on all his envelopes. And like, I think I love the style of that question mark.
Yeah.
I do think it's pretty
fun.
Mm-hmm.
When it takes over the bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Nigmatech logo looks very 90s to me.
Mm-hmm.
All the Riddler's riddles have fun fonts.
That's true.
Yeah, sort of like cut from magazines, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also all of Gotham City, there's like signs, even though John barely saw any, but there's signs akimbo left and right.
That's true.
Does Miranda Priestly exist in this universe, and did the Riddler cut? You know what? We don't have time for this. 4.5 is my answer.
4.5?
Yes. Fun fonts.
I'll give it a 3.
3. I'm going to give it a 5. I mean, I think this is what we're talking about with fun fonts. For me, anyways.
You're always talking about Batman Forever.
Always. And why shouldn't I?
And forever.
Next category, cheerworthy cameos.
Huh.
Well, to bring him up again, Rene Auberjonois at the very end.
Yes.
I was
you
very
George
happy.
Wallace
you know,
is the mayor.
George Wallace is the mayor. Those are the two I wrote down.
Also, Elmer Fudd and with Sylvester and Tweety
That's
are in it for a hot
very
second.
Very good.
Okay, there you go.
That's how you know it's a Warner Brothers movie.
That's how you know. Mm-hmm.
There's also the guy. He's not a celebrity, but it is a cameo, and it's not a cheer. But it does make me laugh every time you see it when Batman like smashes through a screen and like they close do a camera push in on Nicole Kidman, but there's a guy right over her shoulder that goes, "Batman, yeah!" And like it's clearly like 80 yard. It's so delightful to me. It's so funny.
Because
also,
that.
I would say if Batman crashed through the ceiling, you wouldn't say Batman.
Yes, Queen, come through.
So what do you want to give us for cheerworthy cameos, Tony?
Just for that one alone, 3. 3.5.
Three and a half.
I'm going to give it a 2.
2. Our words fell on deaf ears. I'm going to give it a 3. All right, next category, pool trouble.
pool trouble?
I didn't see any pools, but they are in like what the what I want to call the Hudson River, but maybe it's the Gotham River. I don't know.
I don't. When are
so
you?
So there's some like
about?
Water stuff happens.
There is water stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They are about being held over. There is a pool that Chase and Robin are in those canisters hanging
oh.
over. The thing.
Oh,
there's
okay.
water
Ooh.
Under that, and there's also spikes over it.
Is that a
that
pool?
They're trying to be rescued from?
Okay.
Is that not a pool?
Sure.
I don't know.
And I think that's a lot of trouble.
That is a whole lot of trouble.
It is a lot
this
of trouble.
This were the TV show, they would have ended an episode off of that.
Yes, they would have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But I think that's not. There's a lot of pools of lights.
Sure.
Pools of lights. Yes.
Is there trouble, though, in those pools of
well,
lights?
Well, I mean, it's
constant.
Sure.
Yes.
Constant.
Tony, what do you want to give this for pool trouble? You've heard both sides.
One, just for those tubes of death.
Tubes of death. Ugh, talk about my weekend. Am I right?
Woo!
I'll give it a two.
Two.
Were you going to
I'll
brunches indoors?
I mean, there's a pool of water with spikes over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the climax of the film. All right, next category. Sassy best friend.
Alfred.
I mean, I think Alfred, but he's not very sassy.
Well, he does say at one point, you really are quite bright, despite what people say.
Woo!
Mm. Woo, right, girl.
Shade.
I mean, he's...
The library is open.
I just dusted it. I mean, he's
Dick's
British, right?
Sassy.
So is that his 100? I mean, how?
Yeah, that's
him.
That's
yeah.
a British 100 right there.
That's yes. a British 100 if I ever saw one. Call that a pound.
Ooh, boy, this is fun. I'm
Do we think Dick
fun.
Is sassy? He's very, like, petulant.
Yeah.
Smart
like,
ass.
A bad boy.
Smart ass, smart I'd ass. Say. I that's wouldn't say.
Smart ass teen.
Mm-hmm.
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 A real lippy 28-year-old teenager.
Mm-hmm. He was 25 at the time of the film.
Okay.
Was there something he had to go to see a social worker? Because I know it's like, I don't know. What.
This whole thing was, yeah, this whole thing was social work credits that he had to do.
Like, how does Bruce Wayne get to adopt a child? I don't know how, I guess his age is undetermined. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's over 18 at least.
Yeah, he's over 18.
But he needs to be adopted in some way.
Right.
I don't think they ever say the word adoption, though, do they?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Okay, great. what do you want to give this for a sassy best friend?
Also, he's Alfred is an employee. I wouldn't say that's a best friend.
That's true.
Do we think Two-Face and Riddler are best friends?
Oh.
They're pretty sassy. And also Sugar and Spice.
Maybe, but we don't know that. We don't know.
We can intuit a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. If the character doesn't come out as gay, we can't intuit that. But sure, we can intuit best friends. Sure, I know how this works.
What is your horse in this race? Oh, you just want Muppets to say higher.
That's yeah, that's it. Right. Isn't it more fun now? I got a stake in the game.
It is. It is. So what do you want to give it for sassy best friend?
One.
A one.
I'll give it a two. One for Alfred and one for Sugar and Spice.
Okay.
Two women equal one man.
Wow.
Wow, John.
Yes,
wow.
Welcome to my math.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to give it a two.
For the
All
same
for
reason?
Sugar and Spice.
Okay.
Okay, one for Sugar and one for Spice.
Exactly. All right, next category. Might make up some points here. A bold lip.
A bold
I mean,
lip?
There is the aforementioned spotlight on Val Kilmer's lips.
There's that. Two-Face himself, half of his lip is very
yes.
bold. And Nicole Kidman, I was watching, her lipstick is pretty consistently like a dark maroon.
Yes.
So it's not like bold in an eye-catching way, but it is bold in a sort of like...
It pops against her blonde hair.
Indeed it does.
I see.
And I think Jim Carrey has like a blush-colored lip
I'm
at
some sure
point.
It's been brushed with color at some point.
But Two-Face is very bold. I mean, that's
yes.
a bold lip. Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah. It's purple.
And it's only half?
And sneery.
Oh,
yeah, that's bold. To only
that's
do half
choice.
Your face.
It's ribald.
Cindy Crawford could never.
What did you say?
Cindy Crawford could never. It's a bold lip, Tony. What do you want to give it? 0 to 5%.
2.5.
2.5, he says.
I will give it a 4 for bold lip.
Wow. John. Oh, because you're 1 for each lip that you mentioned.
Exactly.
Okay. Sure. 4 sounds right to me. I'll give it a 4, sure. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is Batman Forever?
Mm. They have that weird Malaysian dream warden.
Malaysian dream warden doll, which is not real.
Yeah.
I Googled it.
Okay. So that's sort of like supernatural and sort of like witchy.
Is there something witchy to like leaving riddles for people? You know, I feel like there's a witchy element. It's almost like Rumpelstiltskin-y. You know, there's something fairy
also,
tale.
Also, living in a cave. That's pretty living witchy. Living in a cave.
Bats. Is that a witchy
bats.
Thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Living Eye of Newt, Wing of Bat. Very common.
very common. It's like
what's
salt
it
and pepper.
Ingredient. Ingredient. That's
yeah. It's very called pepper.
Thank you. Batwing pepper, oh.
So good.
We'll change all the chicken you make.
Oh my god, Blue Apron is amazing. I highly recommend sending you these fun ingredients. These
well, we all know
names.
Nothing bad ever happens from eating bats. Tony,
too
what are you
soon,
give
Mark.
This witch?
Way too soon. Like if there's
in
a vaccine,
the midst of this,
yeah.
Mark.
Wow. Wait, is it from? It's from bats, right? Or is that okay? Yeah.
That's what they think. I think. I don't
yeah.
Know.
For all these reasons and more, one.
One.
I'll give it a 2.
Okay.
2. I'm going to give it a 1. It's not that witchy.
Not that witchy.
Mm-hmm. All right, next category. How Korean is it? How Korean is Batman Forever?
Who had it? What movie was this inspired by?
Parasite.
From Parasite.
One Best Picture, Tony. Remember?
Heard
no.
of it.
Earlier
the Criterion
this year.
Edition will be out by the time we talk about this.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Don't leave the room.
Sorry, it's not a Almodovar movie.
It isn't. It isn't correct. That's a truth statement. Jesus Christ.
I didn't pick up on anything Korean. In
I didn't either. There were 2 Asian actors in it, and I think they were both Chinese.
Yeah.
0.
0.
I will have to go 0 as well.
As will I.
Unanimous.
All right.
Okay,
next
here we
category.
Go.
Here we go, Tony. On a scale of 0 to 5%, how much felt is in Batman Forever?
What faggot brought this category into this mix?
Look in the mirror.
I'm in a Zoom right now. Look in the mirror when we're done. Okay. God. Felt.
I think like a lot of the Riddlers, that one in the Zoltar
Riddler
machine
stuff.
Looks pretty felty.
I think a lot of like the decorations at some of the parties.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some felt going
the
on
gala.
In there.
That day glow.
I'm sure Sugar and Spice are wearing some felt.
Yes.
Yes. There might actually, now that I have been schooled, more felt in this movie than there was in any Muppets production.
Interesting.
Which, you know, we can all learn and grow.
Yes. I'm glad you're open to learning. That's all we can ask.
Learning, like felt, is a process.
Oh.
That's beautiful, John.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
You should get that like, written on in your kitchen, like in scripts.
I'm cross-stitching it right now.
Okay, wonderful.
Should any listener not know, I was talking about myself when I said faggot. Which,
because this is the category you
that's
brought in.
Right.
Brought in. Mm-hmm. Curated?
I love that word, just like a Criterion Channel.
Exactly.
Produced whatever.
Well, since you're the feltiest guy we know, that I'm not calling you a sless. how would on a scale of 0 to 5%, what do you give Batman Forever for felt?
You know what? Just because, mostly because the title could be played with like Batman felt ever. Ooh.
It could.
I'm gonna give it's it a
natural,
I'm gonna give it
natural.
what are you giving it?
3.5.
3.5.
I'll give it a 3 for felt. I think there's so much weird material and uncommon stuff. There's gotta be some felt going
on
there.
I will also give it a 3. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. I don't think we can do it.
Alfred?
There's no really gay roles.
Alfred, maybe?
But I don't think he's gay.
He's just British.
He's a straight man. Yeah. He's just British.
0.
Can't be gay and British.
Classic confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
0.
Tony.
0.
I'll have to go 0 as well.
Tough but fair. All right. Next category. Themes of mothers.
Well
it's just Dick just die and then Bat.
And so does
Bruce
Wayne.
Sees his mother die. But it's not really part of the.
They don't really talk about the mother specifically.
Death of the parents is more like overall. Mm-hmm. And you have to, your found family, your chosen family.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel, they don't talk about, like, they don't really talk about family that much, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's understood.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's implied. It is felt.
It's implied every 5 minutes when they do a flashback to Bruce Wayne's origin story. Mm-hmm. Or Batman's. You want a movie about mothers? There's an Almodóvar movie called Todo Sobre Mi Madre.
All about my mother.
Not on Criterion.
No. Mm. Maybe on a Blu-ray, though.
I'm sure somewhere.
You're not spending for... Barnes & Noble does a half-off Criterion sale like every few months.
They do? Well, thank you.
I just bought three a few weeks ago. Oh. I got Polyester, All About Eve, and Leave Her to Heaven.
Oh,
three wow. very gay movies.
Does the Polyester come with that Smell-O-Vision strip?
Odorama, it sure does.
Are you serious?
We did it. The rose one is so overpowering that they all started smelling
wow.
it. Although the dog shit really smelled like
oh, gross.
Shit. It was really gross.
Gross.
Tony, what are you going to give Batman Forever for themes of mothers?
0.5.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 1.
A 1. I'll give it a 1.5.
Okay.
All right, next category. A feel song. Was there a song that put you in your feels?
Oh, feel. No.
I mean, do you like Kiss from a Rose? Does that do anything
for
you?
I didn't leave it on that long for it to play.
I see. They have a snippet of a Brandy song. You hear the snippet of the Brandy song.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like the opening. I like the gold. Is that his name? Elliot Goldenthal? I like his.
The score.
The theme.
Mm-hmm.
The opening theme. It sort of dies after that.
Sure.
It's, it gave me a feel.
Okay.
So if you had to put a number on that.
Okay. Sure.
just if you're up to if you're
3.5.
3.5.
I'm gonna give it a 1.
A 1. Not a Kiss from a Rose fan.
That's what's getting the 1.
You really don't like the. I like that U2 song a lot.
It's, I do too.
It's the only one I really listen to, and it does put me in my feels. I'll give it a 3. And finally, just about
close.
Finally. Scale of 0 to 5%. Gossip. How gossipy is Batman Forever?
Was that Bruce Wayne? Who's that?
Were there any moments where he said?
Yeah, there's like all the paparazzi following Bruce Wayne around. That's very gossipy.
There's a character literally called Gossip Gertie.
I don't know. That's
they all want to find out who Batman is. That's kind of gossipy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip is power, which I've always said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard you say that before.
You know me better as my alias, Perez Hilton.
What?
Hi, I'm hideous.
Woo!
How gossipy do you think Batman Forever is, Tony?
I mean, after this argument from Perez Elizabeth Warren Hilton, Warren, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give it a 4.
Four.
You know, it's 4. Everyone is consumed with who is who.
Yeah.
Who is the identity of such and such and who's and what's, which is every party I've been.
Absolutely.
Are they verifying?
That's true. I'll give it a 4 as well.
I will also give it a 4. All right. And then finally, not second to the final. Sorry. Now this is an all or nothing. It either gets this bonus or it doesn't. So 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. The only thing case you could say is Joel Schumacher himself. It's directed by a gay man. But since John doesn't like the movie, Tony seems
I'm the only person who doesn't like
You're the
this
only
movie.
Person who's voting. You're
only
person
in the history
who's scoring
cinema.
It right now.
Uh-huh. Sure,
Tony
sure.
seems to be.
I think
in
I've been
middle.
More than fair to this movie.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen for it.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's getting
it's
this bonus.
No, it's not getting it.
And then finally.
Finally.
Negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
What is the movie Boat Trip?
It's a movie that it's a gay panic movie where a bunch of guys end up on a gay cruise to like avoid getting caught for something
and trying to hook up with a woman. Cuba Gooding Jr., okay. Horatio Sands.
Okay, mm-hmm. Is it on Crackle?
It is on Criterion.
I'm sure it is.
I doubt it.
So, all right, that's it. What do you guys think it ended up?
So where we go?
What do you think? Any projections?
What do you think, Tony? Where do you think? How well do you think Batman Forever has done?
It held up much better than I thought it would.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to do better than Muppets Take Manhattan?
Oh, You mean in this corn system?
Yes.
You know what? We were weighing a lot of these categories pretty heavy. I feel like it gave some Val Kilmer stiff competition.
So to speak.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. It could match it. I don't see it like no.
Not gonna beat Female Trouble is what you're saying?
Correct.
Well, that's for damn sure.
All right.
All right.
All right, well, Mark, let us know. How did we
do? Well, out of a total possible 2,413.58 points, Batman Forever has scored 1,754.91, giving it a percentage of 72.71, making it the eighth gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Labyrinth, but gayer than Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, my there God. Go. Wow.
Eighth. Bit segment has 69.17.
Wow.
Holy, there you go.
Holy shit, Batman.
Indeed.
Exactly. Hmm.
Well, there we go. That was our first superhero movie.
That's not true at all. We had Supergirl.
Oh, yeah.
But as we know, your scoring system.
First real superhero movie because there was a male protagonist.
Oh, my God. Would the 66 Batman movie be gayer?
It's definitely maybe
one way to find out.
There is only one way to find out, you're right.
One way to find out. Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming back. Thank you so much for doing this again. It's always a delight to have you, to see you, to talk with you.
Yes.
Likewise, likewise.
Do you want to plug?
Plug, promote,
sure, I'll plug my podcast.
Go on.
Spanish IQ Presents comes out weekly as of this recording.
That's gossip.
That's gossip. And I'm at the Tony Rodrigue on all the social things.
Wonderful. Well, it's so nice to see you. Awesome. So nice to see you doing well.
Good to see you, yes.
And
likewise.
We'll be right back.
We're back. Wow. What a hoot he is.
What a hoot. He's a delight.
So, John, are you upset that Batman Forever scored higher than Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? Not that this is a competition.
No, not at all. Not that you made it one. No, I think they're both bad movies. I think there are certain, again, because it's a musical, like there are certain numbers I would rewatch from Sgt. Pepper before I'd ever watch any scene or thing from
Batman
Forever.
And I feel the exact opposite. So there we are.
Great. There we have it.
There's room for all kinds.
That's true. There sure is. Speaking of all kinds, we got a wonderful email from one of our listeners, Celia. She writes, "Hello. I'm just wondering how no one has brought in Clue yet. Maybe it's too obvious a pick, but it would be much fun. I still have hope, and I'm eagerly waiting for the day when it gets discussed and scored. Looking forward to your personal picks episodes. Celia." Thank you so much, Celia.
That's so nice. I love Clue. That's one of the... We didn't have a VCR, but for one birthday, my parents let me rent a VCR from the video store.
And wow, how meta.
Well, because we had HBO, so my parents were like, why do we need a VCR? We have HBO. Mm-hmm. You know, which, fair enough.
Smart.
Clue was one of the movies I rented for my birthday.
Oh,
that and a horror film called Pieces, which is very graphic and inappropriate.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's so fun. They're both fun. But Q's great. I love Clue. One of the
cool.
Talk about Strident Women.
Let's talk about Strident Women. Well, thank you so much, Julia. Hopefully someone will bring in Clue one day.
You could bring in Clue. You still don't know what you're bringing in for your
next
choice.
That's true. I've decided maybe I will bring in Clue next week. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
Are you overthinking it, John? Is there anything I could do to help you?
Probably. No, I think space is what I need. I think I need space.
Okay. I'm being clingy. I get it. Message received. I'll back off.
All right. But that's it. If you guys have any other thoughts or movies you think we should do, or you have opinions on what we've talked about or what we've said, you can email us at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. You can follow me on Letterboxd, which is a silly app, and I maintain a list of the movie rankings and the guests and the categories that are added for each one. Constantly evolving.
Constantly evolving.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you next week for your second pick in Queen's Choice. A month of Queen's picks. I don't know what I'm saying.
Of us picking.
Never came up with a slogan.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.